Welcome to another episode of Hagerty's No Reserve, where we talk about cars that are on the market and cars that have recently sold in the marketplace. Larry Webster can't be with us today, so I'm joined by Greg Ingold, who is the editor of the Hagerty Price Guide. I'm Dave Kinney, and I'm the publisher of the Hagerty Price Guide. And between us, we have lots and lots and lots of information and also years into the collector car market. So we'll be able to look at a couple of these cars that are on the marketplace and a few that sold. Some of my favorites, a Nissan Skyline GTX that sold for very little money recently, as well as a Porsche Cayenne that sold for what I think is a very good price, but also a Nissan GTR Midnight Opel, one of my favorite cars that I've looked at in a long, long time. And then for our kicking tire segment, which is the up-and-coming sales, we've got an Opel Kadett from 1968, a car that used to be everywhere that you don't see anymore, and then all the way down to a Honda CRX that's for sale at Hagerty Marketplace. So let's get into it. Okay, well, we're talking, and the day is recording on October 18th. I'm here with Greg Ingold, the editor of the Hagerty Price Guide. I'm Dave Kinney. What do you know? What's up?
Hey, Dave. Nice to join you as a guest here. You and I have done a few podcasts in the past, so I'm happy to actually do one under the Hagerty banner this time around.
There you go. And you're replacing Larry, who is on the injured reserve list, I guess, for this week, right? He's out and couldn't make it. So let's start by talking about some work that you did for Hagerty Media. I believe it was on the Hagerty Insider site. You did an article called Five Cars Posting Big Gains Despite a Slow Market. Let's take a look. What do you got? What's your point out? What's going on?
Yeah, so for those of you who didn't notice, we published a new edition of our valuation on October 1st, which we do quarterly. And we picked up about five cars that posted some decent gains over the past 4 months. Generally, we've seen the market slowing down, but there's always a few exceptions, right, Dave?
Always.
So, yeah, while we were looking through some of our results here, there were some really interesting cars that still went up in value. I think the biggest one for me was the, hey, Dave, do you remember the Renault Fuego?
No, yeah, of course. I've got a great story about that car. I don't know if it's true. I love this story. In the real time when this car was being tested. Now, I heard this from somebody. I live outside of Washington, D.C. I learned this from somebody who apparently knew somebody who was doing crash testing on these cars. And when Renault sent one to Department of Transportation to do crash testing, the DOT people called and said, hey, would you send us another one? We had a trouble with all of our, all of our dials and instrumentation. And so they crash tested it again, and it wasn't the problem with their instrumentation. It was the problem with the car. Apparently, it wasn't survivable in a 25-mile-an-hour front-end crash. So, I mean, it's probably not true. It's just a little bit of history. I always loved that story because it was the Fuego specifically, not the other car they were selling at the time, the Renault Alliance. Yeah. So there you are.
These are interesting cars. I mean, they're ones that people love to hate on. I find them really interesting, but apparently a number of others did because they went up on average about 57% over
the
past quarter.
Unreal. I was in Paris at Retromobile a few years back, and I saw a set of brand new taillights for a Fuego, and it was marked as that. And I said to the person I was with, oh my God, that's like the most incredible piece I've ever seen, because who has a Fuego? I mean, I just assumed they were all rusted and made into, beer cans by now, but I guess not.
Yeah, if you can find one, we've noticed some sales all the way up there at about $15,000. But if you manage to find one that's even halfway decent, you know, if you're spending over $10,000, you're getting taken for a ride. But 57% on a cheap car still equals a cheap car, but for something that you don't see very often, that's significant enough that even the obscure French cars are really getting some attention now.
Mon ami, I but I am shocked. But you know what? They are good looking cars, especially for their era. They don't have too much wedge. They don't have too much, you know, kind of the styling tricks. It's really just enough. And I love the looks of them. I've always loved the looks of them. They, you know, to me, they always look like a Lancia, you know, just kind of the, you know, following the general design theme. So a bargain car you can buy. So not bad. What else? What else you got on the list?
Well, I mean, Dave, you know me very well. I'm going to talk about a Pontiac if at all possible. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just fell asleep there. Sorry.
Yeah. So 70 through 72 Firebird Formulas saw an uptick of 36%.
Why is that? What do you think?
Well, I mean, so these are kind of, if you get the good one, you can get like the Ram Air engines in them out of the Trans Ams or the 455HO. They're kind of the gentleman's Trans Am if you really look at it. They don't have the aero. They don't have the flash. They don't have the screaming chicken on the hood. But of course, all early Trans Ams didn't come with the big chicken. But, you know, if you want to be inconspicuous and have the same engine as a Trans Am, Formula is the way to go.
Yeah, I had a family member who had one, and I always enjoyed the car. It was a hers was a 71, I believe, and it was a pretty well screwed together car. There was always something leaking out of the rear quarter on the inside. It was like the headliner was like the, you know, the headliner of doom, I guess, if for Halloween stuff. You know, where there was always this kind of glue leaking out of it. But that was the worst thing I could say about the car. I drove it a number of times, and she used it as a daily, obviously, as you would back in the day. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, all good. I like them. I tend to agree. I think they have been a little cheap, so it's good to see that the value's gone up.
Yeah, and really, I think the reason here is I think people are starting to realize that Trans Ams are expensive, and a Formula is about 85% of a Trans Am. So, you know, just values are kind of closing the gap a little bit.
There you go. Let's see. You don't have anything. You know, I'm a Studebaker guy. You don't have anything Studebaker there, do you?
I might. Unfortunately, Dave, it's not an Avanti, so your portfolio is not going wild. But the President went up by 70%, and that is the 55 through 58 President.
Okay. You know, I'm going to say this again. If you look at these cars, you know, the one that you have in the article on Hagerty Insider, Hagerty.com Insider, is a little bit tarted up because it's got a lot of chrome on and it's got the wire wheels and all that sort of stuff. The basic design, it looks so European for an American car. And I swear, once again, you know, let's go back to Lancia. If these things were made by and sold by Lancia, we'd be paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for them. But they're not. They're Studebakers, so they're still cheap. And this one went up the most of all, right? 70%?
Yeah, 70% is a lot. But so here's my reasoning behind that. I mean, we thought 4 or 5 years ago that 50s cars were essentially dead in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with COVID and a lot of the market increasing wildly during COVID, 50s cars kind of saw a bit of a renaissance. And I think people are just getting with the program with the Studebakers. I mean, they're still not overly expensive cars when you compare it to, say, a 59 Eldorado or a Fuley Tri-5 Chevy, but you know, they're a darn good looking car, and they're kind of interesting, and the people who love Studebakers really love Studebakers, wouldn't you say so, Dave?
yeah they don't like to spend money on them, but they sure do love them. But I you know, just talking in gross generalities, guys, don't get mad at me. Let's pick one more. Well, you actually have two more, right? So you've got 86 to 93 Buick Riviera. This is after the bustle back era, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these are kind of the ones that
I'm sorry, boat tail, not bustle back. I was thinking Cadillacs. Yeah.
So these are the first of the transverse engine V6 Rivieras. So, I mean, if you are a close follower of GM's kind of spiral into the dark days in the late 80s, early 90s, this is kind of your car. Not saying that the 3.8 was a bad engine. It's just it's no longer that front wheel drive V8 powered version of a car.
Oh, you couldn't get this in a diesel is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, luckily, right?
Good, good. And then one of my favorites, the Olds Vista Bruiser. I'm sorry, Vista Cruiser, up 30%, 68 to 72.
Yeah, I mean, these are really, really cool. I mean, so like any of you who watched That 70s Show are well familiar with these, but they're just really cool cars. And wagons have been just the hot ticket over the past, 6 years or so. I mean, it doesn't have the hipster appeal like a Volvo 240 does, or it's not a CTS-V wagon or an Audi Avant or anything like that. So, I mean, it really doesn't appeal to some of these niche crowds. It's just a really cool car. And you can get, big block engine in it, wood grain. I mean, what's there not to love?
Yeah. Good, solid cars. Number one, watch out for rust like everything else. But and you got to love the Olds. It was always the expensive material on it, much more so than the Chevy sometimes. But a lot of fun. And also the Vista Cruiser. You can't beat it with the Greyhound style top.
All right. Yeah, it really kind of harkens back to like a Volkswagen bus, like a 21 window. It's just way cool.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's go to our opening bid section. And that's basically recently sold cars that we've seen in the marketplace. We're going to open up with something that was on Bring a Trailer. And we all know that if it's on Bring a Trailer, it's the best in the world. No, just kidding. it usually gets the most eyeballs and it does very, very well. This is a Nissan Skyline. Now, you're going to help me out on this one. It's a GTS-X, and it's sold for the whopping sum of $6,500 here. What's going on?
So for those of you who kind of loosely follow Skylines, this is not an R32 or an R34. This is the earlier one. This is the R31, which... they're very boxy looking cars. They don't have the same engine as the later cars do. It's still a turbocharged inline six, but it's a 2 liter instead of a 2.6. You just don't see them very often. And I think they're a really acquired taste. So they don't have the rabid JDM following that, say, the next generation does.
But Greg, you can go to the bar and, you're talking to a sweet-looking young lady and you're saying, so what kind of car do you have? And she goes, oh, I've got a Honda Civic, whatever. Oh, that's cool, whatever. Well, I've got a Nissan Skyline. Whoa, a Nissan Skyline. So for $6,500, you can be a baller with this thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you could certainly... impress all the ladies out there or all the guys at the next Cars and Coffee and show up in your Skyline.
Now, I will say that I noticed that the seller of the car, the buyer of the car is a, it says JDMR Revolution. I'm guessing that's a dealer. Would you say?
I mean, it certainly sounds like it. And I've seen that they have bid on another 86 Skyline GTS-X earlier this month as well.
Well, maybe it's a Canadian car. It's in Ontario. So it's it looks like just over the border from New York State there. So maybe it's going to come to the United States and, double in price. Who knows? What do you think?
You never know. I mean, even if it doubles in price, it's still a good value for what looks to be a really solid Skyline. I mean, you're kind of looking at a ratty R32 non-GTRs for that sort of money. So, I think that this is an awesome platform to even keep as is, or if you want to throw some later GTR parts at it, like an RB26, and make it a little spunkier, I don't think you're really doing too bad.
Well, sounds good. Well, speaking of spunky, next car, Lamborghini Yaris Spider for under $100,000. It sold at Chattanooga here last weekend at the Chattanooga Concord Elegance. This is a Mecum sale. Sold for $88,500. Now, I know these cars can be sub-$100,000 cars. Number one, it's the Spider. Number two, it's in electric blue. Number three, it's only got 22,184 miles, which I think is, I'm not going to call it low miles. I'm going to call it lower miles. How's that? What's your thoughts? You know, 88,500. Hey, that same bar, you know, hanging out with your friends, hanging out with your new friend. Yeah, just bought a Lambo. Just bought a Lambo, and it's a drop top Lambo. What do you think?
You know, honestly, I think that it's a lot of car for the money. And yes, I mean, that's all relative. We were just talking about a, you know, a dirt cheap Nissan, but you know, for a Gallardo, 22,000 miles isn't that unheard of, and we've mm-hmm. seen them for a lot more money. I think this was really well bought, and who knows, maybe it was the place. It was a Saturday car, so Saturday cars are your best chance to get good money. I think somebody just stole the car.
Yeah, I think so too. Oh, the color, by the way, is called blue silica. I call it electric blue. Apparently, Lamborghini doesn't agree with me. What do you think? Also, you know, the other side of this coin is, what could possibly go wrong with a bargain Lamborghini? But if somebody was able to vet it, and, you know, I haven't run a Carfax on it or anything like that, I'm thinking, you know, for $88,000, that's a lot, or $85,000, that's a lot of car.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to go wrong, even if it needs, say, a major service. I mean, it can't cost that much, you know, relative to what it would take to find a car that's, you know, maybe already sorted. So I think as long as there's not something catastrophic, which, you know, we were not at the sale, we didn't see it run, but as long as there's not something catastrophic, I think this was a good find.
And speaking of finds, I think this is my favorite car of the entire week. This was a wide-body Mercedes-Benz 500 SEC 5.4 AMG wide-body projects from 1984, sold on the MB Market auction site for $110,000, and it is a barn find. Did you get a chance to take a look at this at all?
Yeah, I did. It's really interesting. I mean, I will say I love pre-merger AMGs. They look awesome. I mean, just growing up in a muscle car type household, like this car just screams muscular, and it's really, really cool. And based on what we've seen pre-merger AMGs sell for, I don't think this was a bad find.
You know, it's got the Recaro Model C seats. Ask me how I know they're Model C. Which have the air bladders in them and all kinds of things, heated and, you know, power stuff and whatever. And it's not an outrageous interior. And I don't know if that's a detriment. I think you want outrageous with your AMG. White with a gray interior is about as conservative as you're ever going to see these things. And it really has issues. It has cosmetic issues. And I'm sure hiding underneath those cosmetics, there's more issues. So if somebody's going to restore this car, they just bought a very expensive restoration. However, I think these cars are really, really going to count in the future. Very few of them made, even small number that came to America. This has got the white face gauges, which I just love in the big Mercedes. It doesn't have the scissor doors. It doesn't have, you know, quote, the Lambo doors. But it does have that nice kind of, and I'm going to have to say it again, Miami Vice type of look to it with the white. And, you know, I'm just going to say it. I think this was probably a decent buy, maybe a great buy at 110 grand.
Yeah, it's certainly a good car for the right owner, especially if they plan on hanging on to it. I don't think we're going to see pre-merger AMG Mercedes go down in value anytime soon.
And I mean, all the people I know into this car are right around your age, Greg. So they're not old farts like me. They're young farts like you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, in my opinion, this is a really cool alternative to, say, something like an M Series BMW from the same era. Like, it's just cool. And if you want to be set apart when you're out cruising or going to a meet, like, it's hard to beat something like this, especially if you're into European stuff.
And, you know, think about it. In a restoration, think of the money you're going to save on chrome, because everything, it's 85. I'm sorry, 84. So everything is dipped. There's like zero. Well, there's a little chrome, but not much chrome on these cars. So, and I think there's a lot of stuff that's still, Mercedes sourced parts that you can get. So it's going to be an expensive restoration. There's no doubt about it. But I think one of these things in absolutely number one, or, you know, number two condition, number one being the best in the world, would be a showstopper on the the concourse set or whatever. Actually, I'm looking at it again. There's not one piece of chrome I can see on it, so I stand corrected again. Love these things. I remember them in the day. I also remember 15 years later, after, you know, when it was solidly close to 2000, the only place you'd find these things were out around the back of a Mercedes shop, because somebody brought it in for repair, realized they didn't have the $7,000 to repair it, and the car wasn't worth $7,000. So I think a lot of these cars basically wound up in places like that, because there was a time when this was a fashion item that was really out of fashion by the time the late 1990s came along, right?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes, just like fashion from 20 years ago, things do come back around. So
should I save my bell bottoms from the 70s? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if they're that cool, Dave. Okay. You might want to just leave them in the drawer.
Okay, maybe I'll just give them the Goodwill. Hey, so we started with a Nissan Skyline. We talked about a couple more expensive cars, both around the $100,000 mark. So let's go back to another JDM car, a 95 Mitsubishi Pajero Mini that sold on Cars and Bids. And another great car, as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you think about the hassle of importing one of these from Japan, bringing it over, doing the paperwork, getting everything done, picking up at the docks, having a friend, you know, come with you, all that sort of stuff, it's going to cost you a lot more money than this thing sold for. It sold for $4,300. How many do you want, Greg?
I will take as many as I can find for that sort of money, because whoever brought this in definitely did not make out well on that. I would say this was really, really, really well bought. Yeah, the cost of getting that on even a roll-on, roll-off type situation, to get it over here, do all the paperwork, pay your duties. There's no way they paid under $4,300 to get this thing here.
Yeah, this is not something that you're going to want to daily unless you're a real hardcore JDM guy. It might not pass, emissions inspections. Oh, hell, it's not going to pass it in most states. Mm-hmm. If you're a rich guy like you are, you've got like a 75-acre estate, right, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. This would be perfect going between my outbuildings.
Yeah, that's right. And, maybe you can, just before you set up the ski runs on your mountain, you could probably like have a lot of fun going up and down in this one and taking equipment up for the hot tub parties before and after. Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You can see where my fantasy world is, guys. So, what the hell? But for $4,300, OK, it's going to have rust in it. It's going to have some problems. When you're done, you might be the last person to drive it. But there's some great parts in it. When you're done, you could probably part it out for a lot more than $4,300. Not that you'd want to, but it's got a great look. I saw one of these on the road recently here, where I live in Northern Virginia, which was very surprising, much more of a Portland car actually to me. But a great one to look at. So, and this sold on, where was this? On Cars and Bids.
Mm-hmm.
I like to scan all these sites. I like MB Market. I like Cars and Bids. Cars and Bids. I go to P Car Market, all these places to look at stuff. And of course, mostly when I see them, they're already done. I'll bring a trailer, of course. You have to look at all the sites to have the fun to find all these things. And, we're going to talk about some cars for sale coming up in a little bit, and those are on the Hagerty Marketplace and the Hagerty auction sites. I have been cruising those a lot, and I've come pretty close to pressing a couple of buttons that would buy it. So I am pairing this. Okay, so this is kind of like a dinner with a wine. Okay, I'm pairing this next car with my new Lamborghini, the one I just bought for $85,000, because if you really want to impress, you say, hey, I've got a Lamborghini, but I also bought a Porsche. And this one is a 2008 Cayenne that sold also at the Mecum sale. 95,000 mile one, you know, not a new car. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of problems with it, but $5,500. So you pair that with your Lamborghini, and you probably have enough money to pay for the title work on both of them for under $100,000. What do you think? Is that our new pair?
It might have to be. I mean, you know, I am typically not a Porsche person, but at $5,500, like, I could be convinced to be a Porsche person for something like this. That's just a really good used car price for something with a Porsche badge on it, right, Dave?
Well, I mean, think about it. Now, I will say that the pictures were taken on a, probably August day where it was chilly in the morning. So I first thought that, this is a Mecum sale. This was Mecum at Chattanooga. I first thought when I saw it, oh my gosh, all that paint's gone bad, but it's just dew that hasn't, quite come off of the car. So I don't know how bad the paint is, but I can tell you the interior in this car looks sweet. It's Havana, which is the red brown, I guess would be what I call, with sand beige leather interior, heated seats, got the Bose sound system, Tiptronic auto. It's the 3.6 liter V6. I'm sorry. It is not a high spec car. It's an early car because it's a 2008, and it also has a lot of miles on it. But come on, $5,500. I'm pairing it with the Lamborghini. You know, we're going to win that lottery ticket. We're going to get the $100,000. We're going to forget we have to pay taxes on it. And we're just going to go ahead and buy two cars.
Absolutely. And hey, with this Porsche, it is so well bought that the first thing that goes wrong with it, you kind of have the option to just say, I'm done with it. I had my fun. Sell it, turn it into a pop can, whatever you want.
There you go. I like it. I like your style. 2014 Nissan GTR Midnight Opel, OPAL, special edition, not the OPEL, because we got one of them coming up. This is on Cars and Bids, and this was an expensive car. This is a 1 of 100 produced, 2,500 miles, twin turbo V6, all wheel drive, and this one was unmodified, and it went for $93,500. Now, I am sure that one makes your heart beat a little faster, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, along with Pontiacs, I am a GTR guy all day long, and this car is really cool. And let me tell you why, because like this has some things that are kind of a slight nod to some of the original cars to wear the GTR badge. Midnight opal color kind of has that midnight purple look that you saw on the R33 series back in the mid-90s.
Sure.
And amongst GTR fans, midnight purple is the color to have. That is, it's the most distinctive. It's most universally agreed upon as being the cool car. It's like plum crazy on a Mopar. It doesn't get more iconic.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is the iconic color. This one, low miles, 2,500 miles, just 100 made. You basically had to know somebody to order this thing. I mean, you had to know that it was on the order book. This thing got 53 bids. Not a hellacious number of comments. Only 36 comments. But I like it. And talk about an investment car. If you're into investment cars, you could buy this and hopefully 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when the people who wanted it in 2014, less than 10 years ago, were in high school, in 15 years, they're going to be making money and out there and in the marketplace. So this is something you might really, really look up. So got one car left in the recently sold cars, and that was a 94 Viper RT10. This thing was a car that had an unusual history because it was 11 law buyback. So I don't know how much that affects this particular car, but on a Viper, a 11 law buyback, salvage title, whatever, we see a lot of that stuff with Vipers because they were normally driven hard and, put away wet. But this thing sold for $38,250, 16,000 mile 94 Viper for 38 grand. I think that's a, you know, if you want a car to drive, it did have an accident-free Carfax report. I don't know how much the lemon law hits it hard. I like it tan over black paint. What do you think? You like it?
I really like it. And 38,250, I don't think that's a ton of risk. It doesn't have that many miles on it. They're saying 16,000 miles.
Yep, yep.
You know, it's awfully tempting, and I would like to know a little bit more about the reoccurring issues with the car. Yeah, maybe it's something that, with the knowledge from, almost 30 years later, maybe it's fixable. Who knows? It's still a Viper, and it's cool.
I mean, look, it was a lemon law buyback, so the thing, it could have been in a state, that has very pro-consumer laws. The car went in for service, they couldn't fix it. It went back in for service, they couldn't fix it. Then it sat at the dealership for 30 days. Boom, the guy says, I want a new one, and that's the reason why. So, I mean, it's not the same as a car that was underwater for a week. So, I like it for under 40 grand. That's a lot of car again. So we're in, Larry and I have been talking about it. It's buying season right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time to look at cars if you're looking at buying things, because things are cheaper than they used to be. So let's go look at some cars. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You're absolutely right. It is definitely looking like it is becoming more and more of a buyer's market right now.
Okay. Now, I bought your dream grocery getter to the table here. This is one that's on for sale now at Hagerty Marketplace. This is at auction. It's a 68 Opel Kadett Deluxe Wagon. Now, I remember these things from back in the day. You weren't born in that back in the day. This is bright red. It's a car you saw a lot of. These are sold by Buick dealers. Little tiny 1.1 liter inline four engine. This one's got 85,000 miles. The high bid right now is 5,500. You want to split it?
For this price, absolutely. And man, it is a terrific looking car. It just look at the styling on that thing, and it's really nice condition too.
And it's a California car. I mean, what could possibly be wrong, right? No, it's complete. It's a great look. It's again, okay, so we're still well under 10 grand. Think about it. You can take this to your local Cars and Coffee, and you can take the family and a picnic and put the dog in the back and everything else. And, it'd be a lot of fun to just have for a very economical cruiser. I know I haven't seen one of these things in the wagon in probably 25, 30 years. So, worth taking a look at if it's something that winds your watch. It's got a lot of great things going for it. But I just like the car, and boy, do I like the car for this kind of money.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to split it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It only at $5,500, I don't want to get too frivolous here.
Yeah. Okay. Back to bring a trailer. We got a 77 Ferrari 512 BB. Not a BBI, so not an injected car. It's currently at 100 grand. What do you think? You like these cars?
Oh, I absolutely do. Of the early wedge-looking Ferraris, this one just seems to speak to me. I like the styling a little bit more than the 308s, plus it's got a 12-cylinder like a Ferrari should have. I'm really smitten with this car.
Ah, good. Hey, the thing is that Larry's not here, so we don't have to talk about his Dino, his 308 Dino. So it's nice to have a Ferrari here where I'm the one bringing up the 308 Dino. Not the same car at all. Anyhow, I didn't like these cars back in the day when they came out because I was a Daytona guy. So this kind of, replaced the Daytona for a lot of people. And these were never officially imported into the United States, as best as I can remember. They were brought in as gray market cars, and they were brought in by, companies that would, put bumper guards in the door, or at least sign off papers that said they did, and make them into American spec. I like them better now than I did. I like the styling better. I still am not comfortable in these cars. They're not a big guy's car whatsoever, but I do appreciate the styling on these things. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. It's got 10 days left on Bring a Trailer. At 100 grand, we know it's going to go for more, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, our number four value on these things right now is about 170, and this is way nicer than a number four. There's this car is gonna see a lot higher bids in the coming days, but we'll see where it lands. I mean, you know, a good to excellent car, we estimate about 210 to 285, so anywhere in that range I'd call it you know, well bought.
Sounds good. Next up on Hagerty auctions at Hagerty Marketplace, the 38,000 mile 94 Bronco XL. Now, dirty little secret, this is my favorite generation of Broncos. I know I'm weird about that. There's a reason to like other ones better, either later ones or earlier ones. But this is the way I like it. 38,463 miles, currently at a ridiculously low $5,200 with 12 days to go. So you got plenty of time to go take a look at this one. It's in Flushing, New York, so you know, not far out of New York City. Great looking car. Well, Flushing is Queens, so it's really kind of in New York City. Great looking car. I don't know about the details, haven't really dug down underneath, but you're a Bronco guy. Tell me, you love this?
Dave, I'm more of a Blazer guy, but you know,
shh, quiet.
Yeah. 6 to 1, half dozen the other. I just love two door short wheelbase SUVs. You know, honestly, this is not a bad looking truck at all. The cosmetics look good. Yeah, it looks like it's been driven. You look at some of the mechanicals, and yeah, you see average wear, but honestly, for what these things have been going for lately, this is a steal at $5,250. It's going to bring more money than this, but it's a question of how badly are two people going to want it.
Yeah, it lots of underneath pictures, and believe me, if you're from California, you would just, you know, click off of it right away because it's got a lot of surface rust on it. Got to check out to see whether it's surface rust or any more, but I'm sure you know, you can talk to the buyer and find out more about it. I love that it's blue with blue with blue with blue. I mean, it's blue everywhere. It's got you know, kind of colors that you don't see too much anymore, and the ones that I kind of like. So, at that kind of money, worth checking out. 38,000 miles. Back to another Mercedes. This one on the MB market, 300 TD. Now, another family member of mine had one of these. I remember it well. It was her, shall we just say, used as a station wagon. There was nothing special about it. It was a diesel, as I believe all of the U.S. cars were. This one is, you know, has not gotten a bid yet. It just opened up. You like these things? You like the TD wagons? I think I never met anybody who doesn't like them or some part of them. So please don't prove me wrong. What do you think?
You know, between this and the Cadet, I think I'd still take the Cadet, but this is a really cool car. And look at the mileage on it, 196,000 miles.
That's brand new for a diesel wagon.
Uh-huh. And it's been really well taken care of. These cars just go forever. And in this condition, it's just being broken in. And these cars are so popular. They have such a cult following. This is going to see a lot of demand. It's just a matter of how much. But I think once people catch on to the fact that this thing exists, you're going to see a lot of interest.
It's the color is Manila beige. So all you have to do is take a folder out from your office, you know, find some old folder, and there's pretty much the color, because that's Manila beige too. Not the most exciting color by a very, very long shot. But, you know, you buy the car not because of the color, you buy it because of the condition. And I haven't seen one quite so nice in a long time. I have seen one that was Concours ready. And somebody did, you know, the usual, spent $200,000 on a car, you know, worth a lot less, but they'll get that money back sometime if they hang on to it a long time. I remember these cars being just as bulletproof as you could possibly have them. Just, you know, turn the key, wait for it to, you know, the glow plugs to warm up and just drive away. It was a little bit of, last century's technology, you know, with kind of the, you know, this century's sensibility in some way, except for it's a little bit larger than you would expect of Benz. They got significantly slower after this time. I mean, smaller after this time. So, you know, kind of a point in time. This one's in Annapolis, Maryland. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to go look at it. It's not far from me, but in another time, I would definitely be interested in bidding on this one.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely cool. And really looking at it, if somebody told me it was a five-year-old car, I'd believe them. It's that nice.
Yeah, cool. up next, just got a couple more cars to go. A car that, you know, is part of, you know, it's not JDM, but it is part of the JDM lexicon. It is part of the affordable classic car. You never, ever, ever see one with low miles. An 88 Honda CRX. Tell me about it.
Oh, man. I saw this thing and I love it. These cars are so cool. Just a two-seater sports car, which you don't really think of when you think Honda. Well, I mean, most people think a commuter car when they think Honda, but these were pretty sporty cars for their day. The SI models are, you know, sort of the sports package with the hot engine and the good suspension. And these are never driven one, but I hear that they drive really, really well, and they are very spunky. And for Honda people, this thing is kind of it.
Unbelievable mileage, especially, pardon me, for back in the day. You know, I had a friend who had serial ones of these. He'd buy them, put 190,000 miles on it, sell it, get another one with 30,000 miles, and go another 120,000 miles. He'd just drive it till it wore out or close to it, but they were so cheap. They were just, you know, you replace the old one, sell it for $700, replace it with a $1,500 one for the longest period of time. Lots and lots and lots of these were sold. This is a five-speed, thank goodness, 110,000 miles. I'm going to call that a real low-mileage one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I mean, Hondas of any era just go forever. The body will rot off of them before the drivetrain gives up. Man, this thing is at $10,000. So for those of you who are not Honda aficionados, this probably already sounds expensive, but it is an SI. It's the one that you want. It's in good condition. I'd expect it to bring more money than this once it finally closes. This is definitely a car that Honda fans should be paying attention to.
Yeah, it's listed on Hagerty Marketplace for $10,000, which seems quite reasonable to me. You know, don't know the car, don't know too much about it, but it looks like a reasonable price for the pocket rocket, basically of. You know, I'm not going to say the pocket rocket of all time, but these things are smaller than a Golf. They're smaller than, you know, so many of the VWs that we think of as tiny cars. They really are tiny cars, and they are fun mm-hmm. to drive, because I have driven a couple of them and got a great story. I went to appraise a 56-57 Thunderbird, and it was owned by an older couple. And when I say older, they were in their 80s. And I was looking at it for a customer of mine who wanted to buy it. Unfortunately, it was a horrible, horrible car. The gentleman who was selling it kind of, let's just say, remembered it when he was 50 years old, not when he was 80 years old. And his description of the car was nothing like the condition of the car. But one of my favorite car stories, he said, well, we don't drive anymore because we drive the Crex. And I said, okay. And, you know, I'm like playing along. I said, so what's the Crex? And he said, oh, it's a Honda. He says, we bought it, like 4 years ago. He says, I just love it. I'm going to, you know, keep this Crex forever. And so I was intrigued. And yeah, that's right. He was calling a CRX a Crex. So so every time I see one, I have to, I have to remember the old guy and that story, because, I call him out all the time as Honda Crexes. So, so many fun memories, right?
You know, this is just a cool car, Dave. Seriously, if I didn't have my Civic Si, this would be a really tempting car for me to drop my money on. This is really cool, and they're supposed to be a lot of fun. You can't beat this for $10,000.
So tell me about your Honda. What have you done to it recently?
I bought it stock, and then over the past 12 months, I did a full exhaust on it, header back, cold air intake, upgraded the brakes, little sportier tires, custom tune, put it on a dyno just to see how it did. really, really fun car. I absolutely love it. I see why people are kind of Honda crazy after really taking what was a really good car to start with and then making it just slightly better. Wonderful driver.
Yeah, now you came out of a Pontiac that you had. So, big difference, right?
Yes. I mean, it definitely lacks the torque, but it really makes up for it in RPMs, where my 69 Pontiac would kind of run out of steam at about 4,000, 5,000 RPMs. This thing is just waking up at that. Car redlines at like 8,500 RPMs. It really doesn't even get into VTEC until really where my old Pontiac was redlining. Really interesting driving experience comparison. I don't see myself selling that Civic anytime soon.
Oh, good. Well, I've followed you're having it. I know that you really enjoy having it, and it's been a lot of fun. So, that's great. I think, so many people who work with Hagerty and work at Hagerty have classic cars or cars that are fun and cars that are functional. And, of course, up in Traverse City where the main office is, we've all been up there, and, there's a cars and coffee show that's held, in the nice weather months. And a lot of the people are totally into cars. And so when Greg and I put the price guide together, we're working with tons of other people, but Greg and I are kind of the final step for the price guide. And unfortunately, we wind up talking about cars, 96% of the time. So it makes our day go quite a bit faster, but it also makes for longer days, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But it's an enjoyable job. It's really enjoyable work. And, you get to spend hours on end talking cars together. So, I guess there are worse things out there for a career.
I don't think so. Hey, our final car from P Car Market, an auction website that I enjoy visiting. I don't visit all the time. I probably should spend more time there. 91 Porsche 964 Carrera 4 Coupe Safari Custom. Now, I just know this one's going to be either love it or hate it for everybody who takes a look at it. So that's why I put it in here. I wanted people to take a look. It's an auction that ends in 5 days and 23 hours. So effectively 6 days from now, but the high bid right now is $2,500. Give me your thoughts, Greg. What do you think?
I'd buy it for $2,500.
Brutal.
Seriously though, this is a really well nailed together car. It looks like somebody put some real thought into it. And yeah, the Safari Porsche is kind of the in thing right now, but honestly, whoever put this together did a really good job.
This wasn't this wasn't a cheapy job. I mean, you can tell. I mean, he changed out the interior for Pasha, reupholstered with the Pasha velour inserts on the door panels and the seats. It's got rally timing clocks on. It's got all the lights. It's got the mini whale tail, all that sort of stuff. It's a lot of good looking, 911 SUV look kind of thing in the car. What do you think? I have a feeling that the buyer of this car already has six other Porsches, don't you?
Yeah. I feel like a Safari 911 is not your first 911 purchase. It's the one that you buy when you're kind of tired of all the other 911s and you just want something different.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, this one's black with black and, like I said, Pasha. So that's that op-ed black and white stripe, but pattern interior. This one's in Atlanta, Georgia on P Car Market, so we're checking out. Like I said, probably ends, we'll have this up for the weekend, so it ends a couple days after this gets up. So I'd like to see where this one ends up. Going to be a no sale, going to be a sale, and for how much money, we'd love to find out. Got any more thoughts? Anything going on? What have you been doing in coming up car stuff in the weekend?
Not much going on car stuff over the weekend. I mean, I'm in Traverse City, Michigan, so Hagerty's home office. So we are starting to solidly get into fall. So I'm going to be kind of reluctantly prepping to put things away.
No.
Yeah. So, on top of all my Honda car antics, I've gotten into Honda motorcycles, and I am hoping to get my endorsement road test done before the weather finally turns. So wish me luck there. But after that, it's a lot of maintenance and weeping softly as I put everything away for the season.
But your daily's a pretty new car, so you gotta make sure that thing gets to the car wash eight times a week to get rid of the salt, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I got it new, and I plan on keeping it for a very long time. So yeah, I've got to do the right thing right out of the gate. Otherwise, cars don't last up here.
Yeah, sadly. Well, listen, it's been great talking with you. Thanks for subbing in for Larry, who is at an undisclosed location with surrounded by Secret Service people, we think, right?
Yeah, that is the rumor.
Yeah, okay. So we'll keep that rumor alive. Once again, it was great having you join me. But everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Take care, everyone.